Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, gather round the radio. It's time now for another installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. My name is Michael Harrison. It's my privilege to serve as anchor of the program. It's an ensemble show, lots of great people involved. And the greatest of the greats is its host and founder and guiding light, Carol Marks, one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism. And we're going to kick the program off today with Carol Marks in conversation with Frank Farino. He was the staff director at ABC News and Sports and is a writer and the producer and director of the play titled Marilyn, Madness and Me. It's playing at the Marilyn Forum at the L Portal in Hollywood from September 19th through October 20th.
The warmest of welcomes to A Touch of Grey.
And thank you so much. I am very, very aware of your show, and I applaud you for what you're doing.
Well, thank you. And before we're going to talk about your latest endeavor as writer and producer of Marilyn, Madness and Me, can you tell our listeners a little bit about your very rewarding career as a staff director for ABC News and Sports? And then if you talk just a little bit about the amazing radio and TV shows that you worked on when the entertainment industry was a people business, and boy, do I wish it still was.
You sound very much like my argument. I lecture sometimes at Cal State, and I tell the students there that the difference between what I did and what is happening now is when I wasn't, I use their phrase, it was a people business, it has now become a product delivery system. And the humanity has been kind of sucked out of it in favor of the technology. And I think that's sad, but it is what it is, and every generation maybe says the same thing. But I wouldn't trade what I went through with the people with whom I went through, from the Ted Koppels and the Peter Jennings to the Howard Cosells to the Dick Clarks, who became my friend and mentor when I spent 10 years with him, learning the rock and roll business, to then being lucky enough to translate and transfer to the television business. I worked for Aaron Spelling for 10 years and became the story editor on Dynasty in its heyday, and just had a very fortunate career. And I was kind of resting on those laurels when, of all things, is a bizarre story, Carol, here in the desert. I live in Palm Springs, and there is a very successful little French bistro here called Café des Beaux-Arts, owned by a successful French restaurateur named Didier Bloch. And I was having dinner in his restaurant one night, and he came to the table and said, excuse me, but you are a writer, no? And I said, well, I'm a writer, yes. And he said, I have something I want to show you. And he handed me a sheet of paper, the title of which said, The Diary of Norma Jean. But the rest of it was in French. And sadly, in college, I didn't pay much attention in my French class. So I said, I can fake it, but I can't read it. And he said, I have it translated. And a couple of weeks later, he came back with a translation. And I looked at this one sheet. And literally within 10 seconds, the premise that he had concocted was so gripping and so unique that it stopped me in my tracks. And I said, what do you want to do with this? He said, I don't know. You are a writer. Are you done me? I said, well, let me think about this. And I came back about a week later, and I said, this is a play. This should be a play. He said, and you write it. He said, well, I don't write plays. I spent my bulk of my career in television. Yes, but a writer is a writer. No. I said, no. But through a series of circumstances, I won't bore you or your listeners now, it took some months before it ultimately came back to me, and it just seemed like it was meant to be for me to write it. And I wrote it thinking, okay, it'll give me something to do. This was two summers ago. And we have a performing arts theater here, the McCallum Theater, and the man who runs it is a friend, and I trust. And after I wrote it, I asked if he would read it and tell me whether he thought it was even worth, you know, the paper it was printed on, because I did print it. I didn't do it electronically. And he came back to me a week later, and he said, you should have Joe Leonardo read this. And I didn't know Joe Leonardo at the time, and came to find out after we hooked up that Joe has been a very successful stage director for many years with international credits. He did Larry Gelbart's City of Angels, for one. And Joe read it and said, I want to direct this. And
wow.
That began a process.
Well, what was
ago.
It, Frank, that really intrigued you so much about this particular piece of writing? Was it something to do with this purported diary that Marilyn Monroe had had? What was it that made it so different that it really struck you?
Yeah, I can tell you a piece of that, and my biggest concern is giving the plot away. Because,
we don't want to do that.
That's the key to the whole thing. I will give you the promotional line for the play, reads thusly. He met Marilyn Monroe. He became obsessed with Norma Jean Baker, and that changed everything. And what the basic premise of the play is, a man comes to the audience with what he purports to be Marilyn's diary and goes through the diary through the course of the play. And each time he goes through a piece of the diary, whenever an extract from the diary is read, you hear it in Marilyn's voice. We have two wondrous actors, the lead actor, a young man named Trevor Peterson from Hollywood, and the actress who, channels Marilyn. You see her in shadow, and you hear this voice that, forgive me, is Marilyn. She does it so beautifully.
You're so right. Because I saw a clip of her being Marilyn, and her performance is almost uncanny, and she said that she really feels connected to Marilyn Monroe.
Yes, she has for years. She's done shows in which she has portrayed Marilyn over the years. This is the first time she is doing what we call the essence of Marilyn. It's not so much a visual portrayal as it is capturing the inner emotions of Marilyn Monroe. And again, I don't want to give too much away, but basically the original, and maybe this will give your listeners a tease of it, the original promotional line said, he met Marilyn Monroe, he became obsessed with Norma Jean Baker, and that changed history. And we thought about that and said, no, that's a little too nail on the head. Let's back that off to it changed everything, because basically it did. There are portrayals of, historical people in this piece that I'm beating all around the bush. But in essence, this is a fictional story, very much fact-based. It starts a couple of months before her death when this man meets her, and takes place from then through the end of 1968.
Now,
and it's in those years. Go ahead.
Now, I wanted to ask you, Frank, because you had to do, I'm sure, a lot of research for writing the play. What are some of the things you learned about Marilyn that surprised you?
The key, I will give you two. One is that the Marilyn Monroe character that the public came to know was a very carefully crafted personality on her part. The Marilyn persona, the Marilyn voice that everyone came to know was something she very, very carefully created and portrayed in private in those moments when she was just herself. It was a very different Marilyn Monroe. It was more Norma Jean Baker. Secondly, she was an incredible poet. She wrote beautiful poetry. She wrote deep poetry, some of which is portrayed in the play. This was a woman with many, many levels to her personality, and sadly, very few knew them, very few wanted to know them. Most of the men in her life didn't really care about them. The public certainly didn't. They wanted Marilyn Monroe. And so there was this frustration within herself that she took to her grave.
That's Frank Farino in conversation with Carol Marks, and they're talking, of course, about Marilyn Monroe, which is at the El Portal Theater in Hollywood. ELPORTALTHEATRE.com is the website. And we're not done with Frank. Carol will be back with part two in a moment to talk more about Marilyn Monroe. And that's coming up next when A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, continues.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on matchingdonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. Matchingdonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to matchingdonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's matchingdonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security websites. Pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said you're the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly. That's socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly.
Continuing now with A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and here again is the host of the program, Carol Marks, and part two of a conversation that we kicked off at the beginning of the show with Frank Farino, staff director at ABC News and Sports and a writer and producer and director of a new play titled Marilyn, Madness and Me, playing at the Marilyn Forum at the El Portal in Hollywood from September 19th through October 20th. And here now in this part of the conversation, the topics include the fact that Marilyn never got the credit she deserved, according to many, and how the great director and impresario Lee Strasberg felt about her talents.
And, you know, another thing, and I think Lee Strasberg said it so beautifully because he was a great director and acting coach.
Oh, yes.
And he worked with a number of actors, but he said that Marlon Brando and Marilyn Monroe were the two most talented actors that he ever worked with, and she really never got the credit for being the fine actress she was.
No, she never did. And when I do some of my classes now, I tell them, if you want to see a little piece of insight into her, screen the movie The Misfits and take a look at her work in that movie, which came toward the end of her career. There is a moment in that movie that where she is sitting contemplating life, and you see she has very few lines. She's sitting there, and you read her eyes, and it is the most difficult thing for an actor to do, to portray without saying anything. And you can see so many levels of her. She's sitting there with Montgomery Clift, and it's his moment. He is taking the scene. But as the camera focuses on her, you can see acting beyond anybody's acting class. At least Strasberg certainly was absolutely right about her. She was an incredibly gifted actress on many levels. But unfortunately, there's a line in the play that says nobody cared about them because they were an accessory, much like a child seat in a Corvette. They were unnecessary.
That's so beautifully. Now, I also understand that on the opening night gala for Marilyn, Madness, and Me, which is going to be September 26th, that you're going to have some fascinating items from the personal collection of Marilyn that you have been able to borrow from the Hollywood History Museum. And I just
yes.
So tell us, what are some of them?
Well, for one thing, the dress that she wore on her honeymoon with Joe DiMaggio, some jewelry and shoes, and the one that the one that grabbed me is the actual Los Angeles Times newspaper with the headline "Marilyn Monroe is Dead," which is gripping just to see, and even more the actual pill bottle that they found at the side of her bed, purportedly with the pills that the barbiturates that killed her, whether intentionally, accidentally, or otherwise, which is a part of the play as well. So there are those pieces, and to see them when we went to the museum, to stand there up close is a little unnerving, I have to say.
Well, you know, she was a mesmerizing figure, and we still care a lot about her.
Yes, it's interesting because I just finished reading when I was a kid. I was absolutely taken by Ava Gardner. I thought Ava Gardner was the end of the world. And they've just released a book, Secret Conversations, about her life. And the difference between she and Marilyn, and it's interesting, Marilyn shares that the stage with the James Deans of the world, and ironically the John F. Kennedys of the world, and to an extent Elvis. They were taken from us in the prime of their life and were frozen in time in that image. And that's what we take with us when we think of them. Ava Gardner was either blessed or cursed to live out a longer life and went through all of the travails of aging and didn't have that same mystique that Marilyn had, because it is the mystique. You know, here today, you think of Marilyn, you think of her at age 36. You think of her as this young, vibrant, beautiful woman. We were never given the opportunity to see her become, as most of us do, you know, and most of the listeners we're talking to. You lead a full life, you go through the travails of a full life. She never did, and I wonder sometimes, we were talking about this, the director and I, what would Marilyn think of what has become of her image? Here was this woman who was very talented but very insecure. To know that she has arguably become the most famous personality perhaps on the planet, how would she feel about that?
Oh, boy. I would have loved to meet her when she was in her prime, and if she had lived longer, I would have loved to ask that question because it is absolutely fascinating. And I want to say about your play that, as you mentioned earlier, it's about fiction mixed with fact. And
yes,
if anybody is living in the Los Angeles area and would like to see the play, how can our listeners know more about the play Marilyn, Madness, and Me and get tickets for it?
Well, it's really simple. It's and that's another element to this play. It's at the El Portal Theater in the NoHo district of North Hollywood, the new theater district. And the El Portal has its own legacy. The El Portal is, if not the oldest, one of the oldest theaters in Los Angeles. It's been around since the 20s. It was a silent film theater. And here's an interesting little piece of business, Carol. When the Northridge quake hit some years ago, the building, because it was as old as it was, it collapsed on itself. And they rebuilt it, and after rebuilding it, they rebuilt the 360-seat theater that it had been originally, and then decided to put a forum theater, a 99-seat forum theater, next to the big theater, and they named it the Monroe Forum after Marilyn. I did not know that when they first started talking to us about doing the play. We will be the first Marilyn drama that goes into the El Portal. And the simplest thing to do is to go onto their website, elportaltheater.com. And for those who rather speak in person, their phone number is 818-508-4200. And we would love to see as many people there, obviously, to see this story, because one of the things we are asking, though, to anyone who comes to see the play, we hope you enjoy it, but we're asking you not give the plot away after leaving the theater, because it is a gripping surprise as you see what happens. There are two pieces of business in the play that, if done correctly, kind of, when we did the reading, we did a reading last year that garnered us our investors, and at the end of Act 1, when the Act 1 twist was revealed, literally everybody in the audience gasped, "Oh my God, didn't see that coming." And that's what we're hoping is going to be the essence of the appeal of this play.
Frank Farino in conversation with Carol Marks, talking about Marilyn Monroe. The play is called Marilyn, Madness, and Me. It's at the Marilyn Forum at the El Portal in Hollywood from September 19th through October 20th. And for more information, if you're listening to us on The Answer in Los Angeles, one of our great affiliates, it's elportaltheater.com, and theater is spelled T-R-E at the end as opposed to T-E-R. That's, I believe, the British spelling. Elportaltheater.com, and theater is T-H-E-A-T-R-E. Check it out. Coming up next, we're going to be joined by our senior correspondent, Kevin Casey, from Talkers Magazine, and then Steve Wiseman will be with us the rest of the way. Let's come in your way. I'm Michael Harrison, A Touch of Gray. The talk show for grown-ups continues in a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on matchingdonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. Matchingdonors.com improves those odds by finding living altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to matchingdonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's matchingdonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security websites. Pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving, according to the U.S. Department of Energy. Speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray. Check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation's struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, Michael Harrison here in the anchor chair, and this is the point in the program where we talk a little bit about what's behind the media curtain, and we talk with our senior correspondent, Kevin Casey, who's the vice president and executive editor of the trade magazine Talkers, which serves the talk radio industry. And Kevin, I know that most of the conversation on news talk radio is about politics and about public policy, but I noticed reading in Talkers there seems to be a little bit of a trend toward musicians, artists, directors of movies, actors, old rock stars, making great guests on talk radio. I guess the hosts really do like to sometimes spread their wings and talk about things other than just politics, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I mean, you know, look, pop culture is very important, and I think that as time goes on and as those who were young rockers, you know, 20 and 30 years ago, become, let's face it, boomers, you know, then they are the peers of a lot of these, and in many cases, they're older than some of the talk show hosts out there. But they're still out there doing their thing, practicing their craft, and they have great stories to tell, and that's what listeners like, are great stories.
I enjoy following the careers of some of these bands, like the Allman Brothers Band.
Mm-hmm.
The Allman Brothers are a happening ensemble. They generate millions of dollars a year. Understand, Styx is out there with a loyal following, generating millions of dollars a year. A lot of these bands that were big in the 70s and 80s are still very big in the concert circuit, aren't they?
Very much so. And, you know, when I was a young kid and I used to see the acts that my parents would go see, they were not the kind of acts that I was involved in and that I had any interest in. And now, I think because just of the age of rock and roll, you have bands that were considered young and hip who are still out there, guys out there in their mid-60s, doing summer tours and really doing a great job, sounding great, and it's really a cool thing that we, you know, people who grew up with that music can still see it and see the performers do it, and it works really well.
And they're still being hip.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kevin Casey. Kevin Casey is the vice president and executive editor of the trade magazine Talkers. If you want to know what's going on behind the scenes in talk radio, check it out at talkers.com. And Kevin Casey is a member of our staff as a senior correspondent here on A Touch of Gray. I'm Michael Harrison. More Touch of Gray coming your way in just a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on matchingdonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. Matchingdonors.com improves those odds by finding living altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to matchingdonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's matchingdonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps, so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best. So take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we're joined the rest of the way by our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman. In conversation now with Dorothy Breninger. She's a professional organizer and star of the Emmy-nominated A&E series Hoarders. She's going to talk to Steve about her new book titled Stuff Your Face or Face Your Stuff, The Organized Approach to Lose Weight by Decluttering Your Life. It's published by HCI.
I never knew about this. What's the connection, you think, between, say, hoarding and clutter? I call it creativity, and weight loss.
Well, I have to tell you, I mean, I myself took off 75 pounds. I was on the show Hoarders. I was working with someone who had so much stuff in excess in her home. And while I was asking Maybelline all of these questions about why she had all this stuff, was she still attached to it, did she yearn for, you know, happier times, I started answering those questions for the first time because I realized, Steve, I was hoarding sugar and flour on my body to excess. So here I was putting it on my body, and she was hoarding it in her home. Same behavior, and I looked at the correlation and started working with clients and have said, oh my gosh, what a difference.
You know, it's funny, before I saw your book, I have a couple of friends who are serious hoarders, and they're both overweight, and I had never put any kind of a connection there, but I guess you have seen that more than once or twice.
Well, it's like an addiction, and it's not because we're lazy. It's just, you know, we have some anxiety over feelings. You know, we have had a trauma in our lives. There's a reason why we do it.
You know, your book, I loved your book, and it's the kind of thing, I'm not a hoarder, but I'm certainly not neat or organized, and I like the kind of steps that you have in there, but the book doesn't cover, the book talks about weight loss, and it's significant, but it covers a number of other issues in our lives, from finances to relationships to emotional issues, and I was wondering, is it because of some kind of common denominator?
I think so. Here's the deal. When we look at clutter, and if we've got a lot of clutter around our homes, unless you say you're very, very creative, like an artist, and you need that clutter to be creative, I get that. But apart from that, we really need to ask ourselves, what is the clutter saying to us? Do we not have enough time? Are we avoiding our marriage or relationship with our best friend? What is the clutter saying to us? What's underneath it? And often, once we start clearing the clutter, we get the answers.
Now, I was surprised to see in your own personal life, and like you said, you dealt with this yourself, you at one time were a championship gymnast, and then at your worst, you actually were over 200 pounds. Do you even kind of, when you have those changes, do they happen just kind of so gradually that you really don't even notice it, or how does that happen?
Well, it's so interesting. You know, so many of us know how to lose weight or know how to clean up or take care of certain finances, yet we avoid it, right?
Mm, oh, absolutely.
And I was in denial. I certainly knew how to lose weight, but I didn't want to, and I was in a tough marriage. In gymnastics, I weighed very, very little, and it was gradual. But every time I ignored and denied the kind of marriage I was in, I'll just be straight about it. The guy was cheating, and I pretended like it wasn't happening. And every time I pretended, another pound went on my body because instead of saying something, I was stuffing it with food.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I'm sure so many people can identify. One of the things I love in your book, your book really spoke to me, and it made me feel that this is something I can deal with. But I love, there's a phrase you got in there, organizing your space, pace, face, and grace. And I won't forget that. So explain that.
Yeah. So I kind of break it down into four categories, and not everybody has to organize all of these areas. Some of us have it handled. So if we organize our space, that's the obvious. That's the physical clutter. What's around? Open your mail. Return your phone calls. You know, hang up your clothes. That's organizing your space. What about organizing your face? That's clearly your attitude. What is it that you need to do in order to, you know, upgrade your attitude, feel better about life? And it's also about stuffing your face, you know, eating too much or eating more so that you weigh the right size or you're in the right size body. And then organizing your grace is about relationships. Maybe it's a spiritual relationship. Maybe it's a relationship with your boyfriend, girlfriend, business, you know, parent, whatever. And then finally, organizing your pace is whether you need to speed up. Come on, little lazy, get off the couch, or slow down. Really, take a nap, relax.
Oh, that sounds good. What makes a hoarder? You know, there are some of us that are, you know, messy and may collect things and whatever, but there's a line that's crossed. How do you know when you're approaching that line to being a hoarder?
Yeah, when we are, when we're going down the path and hoarding may become an issue, those are the times when we really don't want to invite anyone into our house anymore. It's just too embarrassing. When we start to miss appointments, when we don't really go out anymore, we'd rather isolate and stay at home around our stuff. These are the things that cause us, you know, some absolute pain. We're not paying our bills. We're not going to the doctor's appointments, those kinds of things. And also, just to be clear, we can have a lot of clutter and take care of our things. We can have collections. That's sort of a collector,
mm-hmm.
but a hoarder is someone who really doesn't take care of their collections. The things that they value aren't being taken care of.
Now, when you get that hoarder and you're going to work with them, and it's overwhelming for the hoarder, how do you turn that to the merely a word I've invented? If you can be overwhelmed, you can be whelmed, and maybe whelmed we can deal with. So what do you do for the first steps?
Yeah, first steps are number one, because, you know, at least on the show for me, what I do is hug the person.
That's
they
great.
Need to know that there's love involved in this process. Most people who have too much stuff have family members who come in and say, you know, I just light a match to this.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not going to work.
You're not helping.
Not helping. So really, if you want to help someone and help them and have them trust you, what you have to do is be able to say, look, I'm not here to throw everything away. I'm here to help you decide what's most important.
That's great. And so have them prioritize, don't threaten them. Are there any particular kinds of tips that you think we could all maybe take some help from?
Absolutely. I have this one tip that's called left to right, top to bottom. When we organize a room or a desk, you know, any kind of a space, if we look at it from left to right, top to bottom, it becomes very easy. So if you want to organize, let's just pick an office, your home office. You stand in the doorway and you look to the left and you see, there's a bookcase there. That's the first thing that you're going to tackle, not somewhere over there on the other side of the office, but on your left, your immediate left. And if it's a bookcase, you start at the top and review the books, and you spend no more than 15 minutes
so that
you can see where you left off the next time, and you can always see how much you got done, which gives you a feeling of, you know, success.
Yeah.
So it's left to right, top to bottom. Always works.
You know, and it's great tips because it keeps things from being overwhelming. And like you say, you feel like you're making progress. As long as I'm making progress, I'm feeling good about it. It doesn't seem too much. I want to ask you about, there was a particular client with whom you worked who actually may have led to your getting on Hoarders, a guy named Lloyd.
Yes.
Who had 5,000 bikes and bike parts inside his house.
Yes,
he was going to
jail, Steve.
Wow. So how did you get called in on that?
Yeah, the L.A. County was going to prosecute this guy. He was 76 years old at the time. Now, mind you, he and I are still friends, and he's 86.
Oh, that's great.
But he was going to jail, and who really wants to be known for putting a 76-year-old man in jail because he's got too much stuff? That would make one kind of a story on TV.
Yeah.
So they called and said, can you help? And by the way, we can't pay you. And I hadn't done anything like that before. It was 10 years ago. And we started working room by room. It took about 7 months and a team of 20 nearly every day working in his house. And by golly, we cleared his home. He did not go to jail. He had people over from church to celebrate, and he found his church sweetheart, and they got married. And we organized that, too.
Wow. That's doing it all. One last question I want to ask you, and it's something that you mentioned that is so important to weight gain, but also health in general, and that is sleep. What are we doing wrong?
Yeah, I just can't tell you enough that that's my own story, because the more that I was so tired during the day because I didn't get enough sleep at night, and the first thing that I would do was reach for sugar. So that I could, you know, some people reach for caffeine, fine, you know, some people for sugar, fine, but this stuff keeps us artificially awake and running. And so I would do that, and then I'd get a real sleepy in the afternoon and maybe take a nap, and it throws off the whole schedule, and then the sugar makes me, you know, dip up and down, and then I'm not hungry, and then I crave more sugar, and then I try to go to bed at night, and then boom, there I am, going to bed way too late, not getting enough sleep, and starting all over, being late for work tomorrow morning. It's a cycle that's nasty. We need to be our own best parent and put ourselves to bed at a bedtime sometimes.
That's Dorothy Brenninger in conversation with Steve Wiseman. Her book is titled Stuff Your Face or Face Your Stuff, The Organized Approach to Lose Weight by Decluttering Your Life, published by HCI. Steve Wiseman conducted that interview. And Steve Wiseman is going to be right back. He's going to be talking about Obamacare scams, things to watch out for that claim to be involved with Obamacare but are involved with scam care. So that's coming up next when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in a moment.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only.
Carol Marx is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marx offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marx is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
She's conquered some of the most challenging ski courses anywhere, but with only one leg, the odds were against her even walking.
The growth was stunted in my right leg when I was born, and the doctors told my mother we needed to amputate when I was 5 years old.
Bonnie was helped at a Shriners Hospital, one of a network of 22 hospitals helping kids throughout North America. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care, and they offer that care totally free of charge.
The care and treatment the Shriners gave me was a gift. It wasn't just about learning to walk. They helped me to believe in myself.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area realize their dreams.
If I went back to the Shriners Hospital and talked to the nurses and doctors, I would say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true.
If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, we come to the final segment of this hour of our broadcast. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we're going to continue to be entertained and informed by Steve Wiseman, our senior correspondent, Stephen J.J. Wiseman, Esquire. He's an attorney, he's an author, he's a webmaster. He hates scam artists. He is the enemy of fraud. Matter of fact, he has a website titled scamaside.com. Go check it out. It'll help you out. It helps me. And he's written the book, The Truth About Avoiding Scams, published by Prentice Hall. And now he's going to talk to us about Obamacare scams. Steve?
Thank you, Michael. You know, with just about a month to go before the Affordable Care Act, which is often referred to as Obamacare, kicks into high gears, this is something that we really need to be on the lookout in regard to scams. Because just as with about every federal program, and particularly those as complicated as the Affordable Care Act, identity thieves are exploiting the public's limited awareness of how the program actually works in many instances to trick people into providing personal information to identity thieves who use this information to steal their victims' identities at a great cost. Scam starts usually with a telephone call, where the caller misrepresents himself or herself as being a federal employee who's looking for personal information from the victim in order to ensure new required national medical identification cards required, they say, under the Affordable Health Care Act. In fact, there is no new card that's going to be issued under the Affordable Care Act. To many people, it sounds legitimate, and so they provide their name, address, social security number, even, yikes, bank account numbers in some instances when asked. Problem is, it's a scam, and the identity thief on the other end of the line is going to take this information and steal your identity and empty your bank account. The government is not issuing Affordable Care Act identification cards, so if a caller tells you that, it's a scam. And even if the government were to issue such cards, they already have your name, address, and social security number. And the government certainly would not need your bank account number. An identity thief would. And you know, as I often remind you, it's important to remember you can never be sure of who is really on the other end of the line when you receive a telephone call. Even if you've got caller ID, a clever identity thief can, they call it spoofing, or mimic a telephone number that'll make it appear the call is coming from a government agency when in fact it is not. Never give personal information over the phone to anyone whom you have not called. If the call appears to be from your bank or other entity that might have a legitimate need for your information, hang up and call the bank or other entity at a telephone number you know is correct to verify whether or not you really do need to provide the information. This is just a couple of the scams that are going to be occurring with the Affordable Care Act. And as I said, with so many complex programs, the identity thieves exploit this. We'll be talking about this a lot in the upcoming weeks because this is something that has a great potential for good, but it also has a tremendous potential for harm.
Thank you, Steve. Interesting information, and you're always very, very helpful. Folks, check out scamaside.com. Check out The Truth About Avoiding Scams, published by Prentice Hall. Steve Wiseman, our senior correspondent. Thank you, Steve. Thank you very much to Bev Santinello, our producer on the front line. Carol Marks, the host of the program, its guiding light, its founder, wonderful, wonderful woman indeed. We are all very proud of Carol. Check her out at atouchofgray.com. Gray is spelled with an E. And, of course, Kevin Casey from Talkers Magazine, the entire Touch of Gray broadcast team. I'm Michael Harrison. Thank you very much for joining us. Join us again next weekend right here for another installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups.